What a great video, right? Isn't that fun? Okay, anybody got the song and the movie connection? Robin Hood, yes, Robin Hood. Absolutely. Man, that was my high school graduating year, 1991, that came out. I picked that song, by the way, because I'm like, this is the best one. All right, well, anyways, that is the arc of so many relationships, right? Especially romantic ones, but most relationships, they start out amazing. Your feet barely touch the ground. Then you hit bumps, and your personalities kind of don't see eye to eye. And then a little word of disapproval here, a little word of disapproval there, and suddenly there's distance, there's cold. There's tension, and if that's not addressed, things can escalate fast, right? One minute, it's a minor disagreement. The next minute, you're like getting run over by a monster truck, right? Like, that's just kind of how they go. And so today, week three of our Relationships That Win series is titled Connection Wins. Keeping love on when things get difficult. And here's the tension. If you have been in a relationship with anyone, you know this to be true. There will be conflict. In every relationship you have, parent, child, boss and employee, friends, husband, wife, you may be in conflict with the person you're sitting next to right now, and do not do this, okay? Keep your elbows tucked inside the car at all times. This is not for today. But we've all been there. And just so you know, Melissa and I, we have conflict too. We're not one of those perfect little pastor's couples that never fights because we're so in love. This one time we had such a bad fight. It got so bad. Melissa came crawling to me on her hands and knees. And she said, Kevin Valentine, you get out from under that bed and fight like a man. I'm just kidding. We'll be married 29 years in April, and I'll never forget something that our premarital counselor said in the very first counseling session we had. We're sitting there, and we are like so in love. We are tying the knot. Everything is so good, and this pastor's name is Steve. He looks at me. He looks at Melissa, and he goes, Melissa, and I'm sitting right here. He goes, Kevin is going to hurt you deeper than you've ever been hurt before in your life. He was like dead serious. Inside, I'm like going, shut up, Steve. I love her. I would never hurt her. And I'm like, Melissa, don't listen to him. He's a dumb pastor. What do pastors know anytime? Anyways, you know? So I'm like, golly, why is he saying this? And I'm feeling all terrible. And then he looks over at me and he says, and Kevin, Melissa is going to hurt you deeper than you've ever been hurt in your entire life. And I'm like, man, has that turned out to be true? I'm just kidding. She's not here. I can say whatever I want. But in that moment, when he said that to me, the same thing he had said to her, it just hit me what he was really saying. Relationships are hard work. The good ones don't come easy. They take effort. And you open yourself up to deep pain because to have a good relationship, you've got to be vulnerable. And any time you're truly vulnerable, you're just open for pain that you don't really get when you're not vulnerable. But when you open up, it's like you are asking for it. And so I would bet that if you look at the struggles and the pain in your life, most of them trace back to interpersonal conflict that you have had or you are having. Family stuff, friendship issues, marriage problems, business relationships, work relationships, and those struggles and pain came because of unresolved conflict, disagreements that were handled super poorly, arguments that got heated, and words were said that should have never been said, pride that won't come down enough for actual healing, sometimes years of like careless words and criticism is how you get there. But let me just give you something that's really hopeful today. It is possible to consistently come out on the other side of conflict closer than you were before, freer to be yourself than you've ever been free to be, and healed with a relationship that is actually more hopeful about the future, a relationship that is actually more confident in the relationship. And the outcome really truly depends on what you choose to do when conflict happens. Do you let it tear connection apart, or do you fight to keep connection strong in the middle of it? Because when conflict hits, let me just tell you, when a fight starts, and you can feel it, the hair in the back, you're like, oh, no, you did not. When a fight starts, when your feelings get hurt, when things get tense in your marriage, when a friendship gets weird and all of a sudden you're getting ghosted and you have no idea why, but you know something's up. When your teenager gets a little salty, which is kind of all the time, but when your teenager gets a little salty, when a coworker sends that email, when a disagreement starts getting loud, and you know what I'm talking about, we don't normally lean towards connection. We actually lean towards self-protection. We don't lean towards connection when conflict starts. We lean towards self-protection. And most of us, when that happens, we default to one of three strategies. Some of us control, right? We get louder, we push harder, we explain more, we lecture more, we re-argue, we escalate. We try to manage and force the outcome that we want. Now, anybody willing to be a little vulnerable, self-diagnose? Anybody, any controllers out there? You just want to control when there, I got a few of them, that when conflict happens, yep. Some of us withdraw. We get quiet. We kind of shut down. We stonewall. We say, no, I just need some space. But really what we mean is we want distance. We do the relational version of airplane mode. We're just like, okay, connection off. That's what we do. Anybody want to self-diagnose? Any withdrawers out there? Oh, yep. There's some of you. Yep. 100%. And then some of us perform. What does that mean? That means we say the right things, but we don't bring the real things. We smooth it over. We make it nice. We people please. We keep the peace externally, but inside we allow the connection to kind of start dying a slow death. Any performers out there, people pleasers, like that's what you do when conflict hits. Anybody want to fess up? Here's what's interesting as I was processing through these. I've done all three, and I do all three depending on the relationship. Because that's our tendency. We tend to call it personality too, right? We're like, hey, I'm just intense. Like, that's why I power just control. I'm just intense. Or we say, I'm just not a talker. Or I'm just easygoing, man. Or it's like, I'm a guy. I don't know what feelings are. What is this thing you speak of called feelings? Like, that's kind of what we say. We just kind of play it off. But I'll tell you, most of the time, it is not personality driving these reactions. What's surprising is all three of those reactions to conflict come from the same place, and it is one word, and it is this word: fear. Anytime there's conflict, fear shows up. Fear comes to the party, and we have fear. What do we fear in conflict? Fear of being misunderstood, fear of being blamed, fear of being rejected, fear of being walked on, fear of losing control, fear of being hurt, fear of being hurt again. And fear has a superpower. Fear turns off love. Like if love is Superman, fear is kryptonite. That's how it works. When fear shows up, love runs and hides. And so today's message is based in part on a book called Keep Your Love On by a guy named Danny Silk. And it is not a marriage book. It's a relationship book. And he describes how fear shuts love down. And then he gives biblically grounded ways to keep love on when conflict happens. And I'll just kind of give you what it ultimately starts with. If you want to keep love on when conflict happens, it ultimately starts with Jesus. And you are going to hear that a lot around here because we believe that Jesus is the answer to the world's problems. He's the answer to your problems. He's the answer to my problems. Jesus is the best, and just from personal experience, Jesus is the best thing that has ever happened to me in my entire life. He has been working on me for decades for me to become the man that I dreamed of being decades ago. And he's helped me become and begin to become and continue to become that man. And he will do the same for you. And you guys know our vision here is to help families win. Families win when relationships are healthy and close. The marriage, the parenting, the siblings, the friendships. And Jesus is the way to keep your relationships healthy. Because through him, we receive what we can only get through Jesus. We receive perfect love. The only place you're going to get perfect love is from Jesus, unconditional, sacrificial, others-focused love. And so let me just say, if you've never heard this before in your life, I want you to hear it from me. Jesus loves you. He loves you more than you could even fathom how much he loves you. He went to the cross 2,000 years ago because of his love for you. And it doesn't even matter if you believe that or not. He still went to the cross 2,000 years ago because of his love for you. He gave up his life to pay for your sin. And I'll tell you what, believing that is the beginning of wisdom. And believing that is the beginning of salvation, because Jesus showed us what perfect love looks like and what perfect love does. And in John 13, this is what he says. He says, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples." So Jesus teaches us after showing us a higher way to love. And he says, you know what a higher way to love is? Love like I love. And then he takes it a step further. He says, in fact, the way that my followers treat and love other people. And he's saying, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the way you handle relationships, the way you handle conflict, the way you keep your love on becomes proof that you're actually a follower of Jesus in the first place. And so let me say this. If you have stepped across the line of faith, the way you deal with relationships when things aren't going well should be noticeably different from the rest of the world. Like, people should be able to look at you in conflict and go, that's different. I don't see that every day. And if you haven't stepped across the line of faith, which I hope you will today, our name for as a church is called Cross Line for a reason. We want to help you cross the line of faith and get into relationship with Jesus. But if you haven't done that yet, you're going to learn some powerful biblical relational truths today that will help you. But you just need to know, I'll give you the end before the beginning. You can't pull off what I'm going to talk about on your own strength. It's impossible. You need God's help to live it out. So what I'm going to give us today is three truths from Scripture about keeping your love turned on through conflict. Truths that will lead to relationships that win. Not relationships where you win, by the way. Relationships where the relationship wins. The relationship grows stronger. The relationship gets healthier. The relationship becomes stronger because of what you choose to do when conflict happens. So here's the first truth. Fear disconnects. Love seeks and protects connection. Now, something you need to know about fear and love. Fear and love are arch rivals. They are enemies. They come from two opposing kingdoms. Fear comes from Satan, who wants nothing more than to keep you from every single relationship that could be positive and helpful in your life to make you a better person. And then you've got God. Love comes from God, and he is always working to heal and restore and connect, first of all, your relationship with him, and then your relationships with other people, so that they're life-giving relationships. Now, here's how the Apostle John, one of Jesus' disciples, writes about love and fear. 1 John 4, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, this is very important here, as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. We love like Jesus loves. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels fear. So important. As we live in God and we stay and we become more and more connected to him, as we lean into him, as we abide in him, as we stay connected deeply to him, our love grows more perfect. The way we're able to love grows more perfect. The way our ability to choose love becomes easier. Our ability to love without strings attached increases. Our love becomes more pure. And where God's perfect love shows up, fear cannot be in the same place. So as you connect with God and your love grows more perfect, fear has to go. Well, here's what you need to know about all of us. When conflict happens, fear rises immediately. And we have a choice to make. When that fear rises, you can choose to react in that fear, or you can choose to respond in love. And let me just tell you, your fear-based reactions in conflict are where all the misunderstandings and hurt come into the relationship. In conflict. Because what does fear make you do? Interpret everything as a threat. If you're afraid, everything coming at you is a threat. If you're afraid, it's going to make you react. Fear makes you protect. Fear makes you keep score. Fear makes you build a case. And when you're afraid, you don't want to understand. You just want to win. When you're afraid, you don't want to connect. You want to be right. When you're afraid, you don't want to move towards somebody. You actually want to move away from them so that you can lob some grenades over the wall. And I'll just tell you, if you consistently react to conflict in fear, you will always find disconnection 100% of the time. If you're reacting out of fear, you will bring disconnection into that relationship. And you can choose that. And most people choose that. That's the default thing we choose. Or there's another way. You can actually respond in love to conflict. And I'll tell you, one of the most important commitments you can make in a relationship, and this is any relationship, is this: my number one goal in the relationship is love and building and protecting connection. You want to have great relationships? Make that your commitment. My number one goal is love and building and protecting connection, which starts with, it's my job to control myself, not control the other person. That's your job. Control yourself, not the other person, because love has a goal and love has a target. Connection. Love seeks to protect connection. And it starts with you. This is probably what's going to help you the most in this, is it starts with you. When a conflict hits, you get to choose what you're fighting for. You can fight, and you can fight to make your point, or you can fight to understand. You can fight for control, or you can fight for connection. You can fight and go towards the other person or the difficulty, or you can shut down and go the opposite way. And I will just tell you, if you don't choose connection on purpose, fear will choose distance for you. If you don't choose connection, fear will make that choice for you, and it will not choose connection. It will choose distance. So all of that to say, look, connection doesn't happen by accident. It is your choice. If you're going to keep your love on in the midst of conflict, it's because you choose for it to stay on. That's why sometimes the most powerful thing you can say in conflict is, hey, I'm here and I'm not leaving. I want us to stay connected. What's interesting is sometimes we experience a broken relationship, and what happened, why it ultimately failed, is very, very simple. Conflict began and no one stepped towards the conflict. Conflict began and no one stepped into it with love, and connection was severed and no one was able to repair it. Either no one wanted to or no one knew how to. My desire for you, and I believe what God is calling us to be as his followers and representatives and his reflection on earth, is I believe God is calling us to be conflict firefighters, all right? If you aren't a firefighter, you want to be one, you can be one. Conflict firefighter. Here's how that works. When everyone else is running away from the fire, the conflict, because everybody does that. Conflict happens, everybody scatters. What if you are the one running towards the conflict, not to attack it, not to crush the other person, but running to it with the tools to figure out how to get it under control, how to save whoever's in danger of getting burned or killed, and how to salvage as much of the structure, the relationship, the connection as you possibly can? That is what God is calling you to do, is run towards the conflict, not away from it, and be a conflict firefighter. So the bottom line for this point is, when conflict happens, the goal of love is connection. Truth number two: speaking the truth in love strengthens connection. If the goal of love is connection, you're going to have to learn how to speak the truth in love. Scripture teaches us to share those two things together. Ephesians 4, instead, as Christians, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. The phrase is gold: truth and love together, because when you separate those two, things get destructive pretty quick. And this is how I'll say it: truth without love wounds. You want to wound somebody? Share truth with no love. Love without truth, it's just manipulation. Some of us grew up around truth people, right? And people are just like, hey, I'm just being honest, man. And it's like, what is that? That's just like really mean-spiritedness with like a spiritual label. And then we've got other people, it's like, hey, they're just love people. And like, we don't want to hurt anybody. So nothing gets addressed. We never share the truth. Everything stays the same. And then resentment kind of becomes your family pet. Because that's what everybody has, is just resentment, because no one's willing to share the truth. Tim Keller, one of my favorite authors and pastors, nails the balance between truth and love. He says, love without truth is sentimentality. Truth without love is harshness. God's saving love in Christ is marked by both radical truthfulness and radical unconditional commitment. Radical truthfulness. What is that? You're a sinner. You deserve to die. And that's what's coming to you. You have fallen short of God's standards. So you deserve death. That is radical truthfulness. That is just true. Your relationship with God is broken. You broke it. And it is, there's a disconnect between you and God. And if God was just about radical truthfulness, stops there. There's the truth. Where's love come in? God says, you're a sinner. You've fallen short of God's standard and you deserve death. And I'm going to pay the price for you. I'm going to go to the cross because I love you. And I'm going to pay your penalty for death. I'm going to spend 3 days in a grave and I'm going to be resurrected from the dead. And that is going to be your doorway to an eternity with God in heaven because of his great love for you. Jesus purchased your freedom through his death. And when you believe in him, you then receive that freedom, truth, and love. Now, let's be honest, sharing the whole truth in a relationship. I mean, all of the truth in a relationship. It's pretty dicey. We are afraid of the whole truth. And this is where fear comes in. We're afraid of actually sharing the whole truth because what if I share it and they don't like it? What if I share it and they just reject it? What if I share the whole truth and they reject me? What if I share the whole truth and I look bad? Or I come off as really selfish if I'm really honest? Well, that fear that we have of being fully honest hijacks communication. And when we don't share the whole truth with love, we end up communicating passively. We will share half-truths. We will do people-pleasing. We will avoid what's really going on, or we will share aggressively. We will power up, argue, dominate to get all that we want in the relationship, or the worst, we will communicate passive-aggressively, which is the worst one. Subtle punishment, sarcasm, manipulation, veiled threats, guilt. That's what fear of truth does to communication. None of those things build connection. They all build distance. So the goal is getting to the place where we share truth and love together, or truth in love like a pig in a blanket. I love those things. Those little weenies that you put the stuff around and you put them in the oven, they become one. Like that's it. It's truth with love wrapped around it. So how do we stop being afraid of truth? How do we stop being afraid of truth and then share truth in love in our relationships? And this is going to be new to so many of you. And I'm telling you, I'm old and I'm still learning how to do this well. Sharing truth, not being afraid of truth and sharing the truth in love in your relationship, it actually starts in you. It starts in you. Speaking the truth in love isn't first about, I'm just going to tell them like it is, man. That's not where it starts. It doesn't start with telling them the truth about them or the situation. It's about you doing the hard work of understanding what's going on in you. You got to figure out this truth before you can share truth, the truth about what you think about what's going on, the truth about what you're feeling and what you need, so you then can communicate it clearly and lovingly. Yeah, but what about them, man? They need the truth. They need the truth. I must tell them. Great. Tell them the truth about what's going on in you. Give them that truth. If you don't wrestle down the truth within yourself, you're going to start and you're going to communicate confusing, inaccurate information, and then you will wonder why they don't understand you. Well, you never shared with them the actual truth. So they're not getting to know you and where you're really at because you haven't done the work. And so what we call it is assertive communication. What's assertive communication? It's, hey, my thoughts, feelings, and needs matter, and so do theirs. So do yours. My thoughts and needs matter as much as yours. That's not attacking the other person. It's not retreating. It's just honest connection. And here's what that looks like. I'll give you a real world example. A while ago, Melissa and I had an area in our relationship where we just weren't seeing eye to eye. It kept coming up over a long period of time, and we would talk about it, but nothing really changed or moved. It just was frustration on both sides. So I finally sat down and decided to do the work. I asked God to help me understand me and started just asking, well, what do I really think about this? How do I really feel about it? What makes me feel this way about it? I know I said the word feel a lot, and you guys, your eyes are glazing over. It's okay. You can get through this. It took me a couple of days of digging because it's just not easy for guys to really get down to the bottom of our feelings. But I finally got to the bottom, and two words surfaced. I felt powerless and I felt weak in our relationship. And those were two very different things in the context of what we were talking about. And then I asked the next question. Well, what do I need so I don't feel this way anymore? What do I need from Melissa so that I don't keep feeling this way in our relationship? And it's like I kind of mined that data out of me because that's not easy either. God help me. Well, then I brought that to Melissa and I brought this vulnerable truth shared with the goal of love, which was connection. And I am telling you, it changed the conversation almost immediately. It took an old conversation that we had had dozens of times and made it brand new because I wasn't just reacting. I was sharing the truth in love, and then I was able to respond in love because the goal that I had was for us to connect deeper on it, and she responded because the goal was staying connected. And Melissa was able to listen, understand, do her own work, and realize that I was completely right. Okay, just kidding. She's not here. I can say what I want. And then she was able to share what she thought and what she felt and what she needed from me. See, I was going to her with a solution. I wasn't just going, hey, there's a problem and pretty sure you're it. It's like, no, let me tell you what's going on inside of me with this. It's what I think about it. It's how I feel. And this is what I need. This is what I believe I need for us to kind of get past it. And when she shared that with me, we actually gained significant ground in an area that we had been stuck for years. And our connection strengthened because truth got introduced with love. And this is just for some hope for you guys. It's like, look, we've been married 29 years and we are still growing in how to handle conflict. We're still growing in how to keep our love on. We're still growing in building something that is going to last the rest of our lives. And so in a respectful, deepening relationship, each person is responsible to know what's going on inside of them and then communicate that out. Not just assume the other person can read their minds. Don't we do that all the time? We just assume stuff because most disconnections fueled by assumptions, it's like, well, I guess they don't care. You know you've thought that before. I guess I'm not important. It's just like every argument, right? It's like, I guess they're doing it on purpose. In fact, I know they're doing it on purpose. I guess they're never going to change, so why even bother? Well, let me just tell you, assumptions are like termites. They don't announce themselves. They just eat away at the foundation. That is what assumptions do in a relationship. And I just say this, rather than inserting all the fear assumptions into the situation, what if you started interjecting love assumptions? And you believe the best. You believe that maybe they want to work it out. Maybe they just don't know what to do. And maybe you can be the first one to take a step and bring truth and love into it. Just assume the best. So here's a simple formula. Truth plus love equals connection. Truth plus love equals connection. And this isn't just covenant relationships like a marriage, when I'm using marriage examples because they're like the freshest. But this actually applies to all relationships. Okay, here's the last truth. And honestly, this is the secret sauce to the Christian life. And it is the power of God in us. Truth three is the Spirit of God empowers connection. The Spirit of God empowers connection. Keeping love on in conflict, not natural. It is spiritual. It requires supernatural help to keep love on when everything in you wants to turn it off and put the gloves on, right? Like that is a spiritual moment. The Spirit of God helps you do what? Stay loving when you're under pressure. The Spirit of God gives you what you don't have naturally, which is humility when you want to defend, courage when you want to withdraw, patience when you want to explode, and self-control when you want to control everybody else. That's what the Spirit of God does. 2 Timothy 1:7, so perfect. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. If you're feeling afraid and timid, that's not God's spirit in you if you're a follower of Jesus. He's given us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Power, love, self-discipline. Not power over people to control them. Power over yourself to control you and keep love on in the conflict. You know the only control that the Holy Spirit of God says in Scripture will help you with? Self-control. That's the only control that the Spirit of God will help you with. Self-control. Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and that last one, self-control. That's it. The Holy Spirit. If you're struggling with self-control, this is where you get it. You ask God for help with self-control to keep your love on in conflict in this context. If you want to win the battle between like fear and love, it starts with self-control and choosing connection with God's help. Remember, the closer we are to God's perfect love, the more perfect our love becomes. Which means with the power of God's Holy Spirit inside of you, you can feel triggered and still choose love. You don't have to go off the deep end. You can feel hurt and still stay present in the moment, in the conflict. You can feel angry and still speak with honor to the other person. You can feel discouraged and still keep hope alive on the inside of you, which just means you're choosing the other person's good and you're choosing connection even when it's hard. That's what that means. And this is spiritual. You can't do that on your own. You need God's help. And so this is what I want to do. I want to give you three application points real quick, very painfully practical. Because like I'll tell you, Crossline, we're a next step church. We're a life application church. We have got to be people that apply God's word. When it's taught, we need to apply it to our lives. It's like if you just hear this message and you go out of there and go, way to go, Kevin, man, way to teach the word. And you don't do anything different. It's a waste of time here. God's word is applicable, and when you apply it, life change happens. And so if you're going to keep your love on in conflict, first thing you're going to have to do is stay present in it. Stay present in conflict. This is us, man. When our tendency is to disconnect when conflict happens. And here's a sentence or two. I said them earlier. I'm going to say them again. Here's a sentence that builds a bridge back. Hey, I'm here. I'm not leaving. It starts building a bridge back. Hey, I want us to work this out. Hey, I care about you more than I care about winning this argument. Gosh, those are bridge building statements to connection. Why stay present? Because that's what perfect love does. You know, the most thorough description of perfect love is found in 1 Corinthians 13. You've heard it at all the weddings. It's like love is patient, love is kind, and blah, 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 all the love stuff, right? Well, here's where we never teach at a wedding, but it's the last four things that passage of scripture tells us that love does. And it goes right along with like love stays present in conflict. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. What does love do? Love never gives up. Boy, that's beautiful. Perfect love never loses faith. Perfect love is always hopeful for a better tomorrow. Perfect love always endures through every circumstance. You want to do conflict different than any other person that doesn't know Jesus? Stay present in it. The next one to do is do the hard work to name the fear underneath the reaction. Name the fear underneath the reaction. Most of us struggle with conflict because we react out of fear. Well, what if you started working on what the fear is and naming it? This is where healing starts because the reaction is usually a cover. Anger is often covering fear. Control is covering insecurity. Withdrawal is covering pain. And so ask yourself, well, what am I afraid of right now? Am I afraid of being dismissed? Is that what I'm afraid of? Am I afraid that I don't matter? Am I afraid that I'm going to lose control? Am I afraid that this is never going to change? And I'll tell you, part of my fear with Melissa, when I kind of boiled it down, And I told her, I'm like, hey, I'm afraid that by the time we figure this out, if we don't put more effort in now, we're like going to be dead. We're going to figure it out when we're dead, you know? And I'm just like, it's kind of like that. You know what we do when we sell our house? We do all the stuff that we should have done years ago, but we do it and then we sell it. We never get to experience it. I'm like, no, why don't we do this now? And then we can live with all this stuff figured out. Then we have a better relationship. But that was my fear. Well, what if you name the fear, which shines a light in the darkness of fear, and then you bring that to Jesus? You figure out how you're feeling. You bring the feeling and the fear to the other person and what you need to resolve the problem. What if you tried that in your conflict? One of the sentences that has stayed with me for the last 2 decades, 3 decades since I heard it is, you know what healthy people do? Healthy people ask for what they want. And I say it this way, healthy people ask for what they need. And if you do the hard work of figuring out what you think and how you feel and you get down to what you need, healthy people ask for that. And if you're not healthy, ask for it anyway, start acting healthy, maybe you'll get there. Step 3, repair quickly. This is massive. The healthiest couples in relationships aren't the ones who never fight. They're the ones who repair the fastest. You apologize first, forgive fully, get back to connection. And when you repair quickly, you protect the relationship and yourself. Like when we don't repair quickly, we give Satan a foothold to stir up anger, resentment, and distance. Listen to what the Apostle Paul tells us about repairing quickly. Ephesians 4:26. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Now, when I was young, when Melissa and I first got married, I used to take this verse so literally that I would keep us up till 2 a.m. working through a fight. Because I'm like, Melissa, we got to finish this tonight. And she's like, I want to go to bed. I'm like, no, we got to finish this tonight. We can't let the sun go down on our anger. We're going to give the devil a foothold. And she would be so mad at me. She'd be like, you're a foothold and the sun's already down. And I'm like, you know what I'm saying. And then we had to work through that fight. But it's kind of one of those, like, it's like I've chilled out over the years to where now it is okay for us to go to bed angry on one condition, that we have a promise with each other that we'll work it out first thing in the morning, because we want to not give Satan a foothold in our relationship. So here are 3 repair phrases that you can steal. Here's 5 words. I'm telling you, every conflict you have, these 5 words can start to build back connection. I'm wrong and I'm sorry. I'm wrong and I'm sorry. You want to start building back connection? Start there. Help me understand what that felt like for you. Help me understand what this feels like for you. What do you need from me right now? What a healing question. What do you need from me right now in this conflict? I want to close with a little bit of vision. As a church, Crossline, we are not becoming a place of perfect relationships. We're becoming a church of repaired relationships, relationships that are repaired quickly. A church where husbands and wives, they don't pretend, they prepare. A place where friends don't ghost each other. They just go first in sharing what they think, feel, and the needs that they have. Where parents and kids don't live in constant tension, they learn connection with each other. Where conflict isn't the end of the relationship, it is the place where we practice keeping our love on. And through a church like that, with people in it like that, Jesus becomes visible. People are able to look at us and go, they watch us in conflict or are in conflict with us and experience us, and they go, never seen that before. Never had anybody pursue me to keep the connection on in the middle of conflict like this. Never seen 2 people repair something so quickly that should have broken a long time ago. That's the vision. Jesus is our leader. He didn't choose love when it was easy. He didn't keep his love on because it was easy. He kept his love on even though it cost him everything. The cross is proof that love doesn't run. Jesus stayed. He could have come down off the cross. He could have called in a legion of angels and wiped out Rome, but he stayed on the cross. Why? Because perfect love sacrifices. Perfect love repairs what sin breaks. And so let me just say this. If you're in a relationship right now and you feel like it's dropping signal, here's the hope. God can repair and restore the connection if you will lean into him. And for some of you, the connection that he wants to repair is his connection with your heart. Because you don't have a connection with God right now. And either it either broke a long time ago, maybe you grew up going to church and now you're like, I gave that up a long time ago. You find yourself back here. God wants to repair that connection. Or maybe you're here and you're just like, I don't even know about this God thing, but I'm feeling something stir inside. That is God just saying, hey, can we repair our relationship and our connection so that I can live in you and with you and give you the strength to have relationships like nobody else has? And so with that being said, I want to give some of you, maybe even one of you this morning, the opportunity to step across the line of faith and invite this perfect love of Jesus into your heart. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me, everybody in the room? And you just need to know Jesus loves you. He died for you. He rose from the grave to give you eternal life. And when you believe that, you become one of his children and his power becomes your power. So if you're ready to believe in him, invite him into your heart. I just want you to pray with me. Just borrow my words. And you can say something like this. Dear God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus into the world. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose again. Forgive me for my sins. Give me the gift of eternal life. God, I surrender my life to you. And Father, I pray for all of us. Lord, there are some relationships in this room that are so broken right now that maybe even close to being all hope is lost. But Lord, we know that you are the great repairer of relationships, that you are the strength that we need when we need it the most, and that you care deeply about the friendships, the marriages, the parent relationships, the business relationships, the friendships that we have. You care so deeply that you have given us a way. You've given us the strength to focus on connection, and to fighting for connection. Lord, help us be a people that keep our love on in conflict. And God, I just thank you in advance for the relationships that you're going to use us to bring relief to and restoration as we share your truth and the truth in love. God, thank you that we can come to you for help in this. In your holy name, amen.